Awesome. Well, guys, so glad you guys are here tonight. This is a really important talk that we're going to have. I'm just glad that you guys are here. You guys have stuck out this series with us. Your parents have let you come continually. That's good, too. So if you remember when we started the series, I told you that we were going to talk about some words that are going to kind of get your attention. And tonight, the word is going to be on the screen. And I just want us to go ahead and talk and say it out loud, okay? Say it really quick. Okay, all right, there, we got it over with, it's done, we've said it, you can now relax, okay? That's what we're going to talk about. Some of you are giggling, that's okay. Some of you are like a little uncomfortable right now, you're like, oh, what? I didn't know we were talking about this tonight. And some of you rolled your eyes and you're like, ugh, why are we talking about this, church? And some of you actually paid attention for the first time ever. Okay, so, all right. So all of those responses, guys, are completely normal, all right? And so let's just let it be what it is, okay? But I also want to remind you two important things that we talked about throughout the series. The first one is this. It's on screen. Listen to what God has to say about sex, okay? This is super important. I want you to learn from him what he says and how he thinks about this so that you guys can be ready to face that when it happens in your life. Number two, don't distract each other, okay? Because sometimes when we talk about topics like this, it gets a little awkward, a little weird, and your tendency is to go, or to, crack a joke, or to look at the person to see if everybody's as uncomfortable as you are, and then you're like, really what you're doing is you're getting distracted, and you're distracting your friend. So don't do that. Can we agree on that? Everybody say, okie dokie, if you agree. Okie dokie. Okay, cool. All right. So some of you may be thinking too, like, why are we talking about this in church? Oh my gosh. This is not what you talk about in church, right? So our group knows, sixth grade boys know why we're talking about it, because I kind of let the cat out of the bag. So, but there's a lot of reasons why we think this is important to talk about in church. Here's the first one, okay? First one is God has a lot to say about it. And if you've ever been in class with me on Sunday morning, you know that I've talked about the Bible and how the Bible should be actually rated R. If you're thinking about movies. But if you actually read the Bible, there's murder, there's cheating, there's sexual immorality, there's idolatry, there's wars, there's secrecy, there's everything bad that you could ever think of as a story in the Bible. And you're like, really? I'm going to read the Bible, right? Now some of you are like, I'm going to go home and read the Bible. No. Okay, well, that's good. I hope you do, because in there you're going to see God's redemptive story right behind all of that junk. And so that's what we want to uncover for you tonight, especially about the word and the idea of sex, okay? So we're going to dive into that topic a little bit more. The second idea and the reason why we think this is important is because you guys are getting bombarded daily sometimes about this idea. Some of you guys are in public school, are hearing jokes, you're hearing your friends talk about it. Some of you are watching movies, sometimes your parents watch movies with you, and you're like, there's a sex scene that comes up, and you're like, what, really? Okay, why do they look so perfect, you know, or what's going on? All right, and you're like, and you guys see these messages all the time, and with your world, your phone, and your iPads, and whatever else you have, DSs, I don't know, what do you have right now, you have access to whatever you can get your hands on. Unless your parents are blocking all that, okay? And so it's available to you. And most of the messages that you're getting today from whether cartoons, some of the cartoons out there are bad, some of your sitcoms that you watch, you're getting all kinds of messages. And all of those messages do not line up with what God has to say in his word about the idea of sex and sexuality. And it's only going to confuse you. And so if all that's true, if what I just said is absolutely true, those two things, why shouldn't we be talking about this in church? If the world is shouting it at you, sneaking it into every little moment of your day, then the church should be the first people who give you the truth about it. And that's what we're going to do, okay? If I could sum up where we're headed tonight, in short, it's this. God made sex with meaningful purpose, okay? And so if he made it with meaningful purpose, then that's a big deal to him. It's a big deal to God, and it should be a big deal to us. And we should really want to dig in to know what he says about it. So I want to take a moment to dive in and pick that first statement apart. Sex is a big deal to God. You're like, well, really? Sex is a big deal? Yes, it is. So how do we know this? Well, remember when we started this series, God created sex, okay? He made it. In our first week, we talked about that in the passages in Genesis 2, 23 through 24. Here's what it says. After God created woman, it says, the man said about the woman, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now, if you were here, you remember I told you these verses actually show the exact moment that God created sex. And I know it may not seem like it through the words. You're like, really? Is that what he didn't say that? But yeah, he really did. That line that they become one flesh is the actual Old Testament way of talking about they had sex. Okay? Now, if you don't know what that is, you're like, I still really don't know what that is. That's okay. Don't freak out. You'll have time to talk about it later with either your small group leader. You can talk to me about it. You're like, Chris, I really need to know. Or you can talk to your parents if you don't know what the act of sex is. Okay? Don't freak out. All right? Just chill. But I want you to know that God created it. Not only did he create it, he had a purpose in it. And the Bible talks about four biblical purposes for sex. And we're just going to go through them pretty quickly. And you can giggle, okay? At different times, it's fine. But the first one is this, to make babies, okay? And you're like, what? Okay, wait a minute, wait, make babies. Okay, so yeah, I mean, you once were a baby, right? I know you're thinking, where's he going with this? So your parents had sex. Oh no, I don't want to think about this. Wait, okay? So just so you know, that is how you got here, okay? Shh. All right, that's good. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. So the first purpose that's pretty amazing is that if God didn't create sex, you don't exist, okay? And I don't exist. So thank you, Lord, for creating sex so that I get to be here, you get to be here. One big word that usually is talked about is called procreation. That's just a fancy word for saying how to make babies, okay? All right, so God created sex as a way to continue to populate the world, okay? You guys know about this. Some of you guys know about this. In Genesis 1:28, God gives his first command to the man and the woman that he created to actually do this. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over the living creatures that move along the ground. So did you catch it there? God turns to Adam and Eve and he says, hey, go make babies, okay? Go make babies, okay? So how do you make babies? It's okay to say it. Okay, all right. So that's how that's made. So God created it, and that's why it is so important to understand that it is something he did, okay? And he actually told them, you can't just snap your fingers and make a baby, guys, okay? There's a process. Okay, we won't go into that. Number two purpose is to make marriage official. Okay, and you're probably thinking, okay, what's that got to do? Well, there's a bigger word that goes along with that. It's called consummation, all right? And if you look at this verse again in verses 24, Genesis 2:24, it says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. The idea there in a wedding ceremony, exchanging vows and promises, and then the rings, and then they get to go to their honeymoon and commit to the marriage on their honeymoon. The wedding night is the night where the sacred confirmation of that marriage happens in sex. And that's what God created it for, to confirm and to make marriage an official binding relationship. Okay, and you're like, wow, didn't know that. Maybe that's something you didn't know or you didn't get from your information from the world. That's the second purpose that God created for it. Number three, God builds sacred love and intimacy within this idea of sex. And you're probably like, okay, well, those are big words. The reason why I put sacred in there is because the world has saturated it with selfishness and lust. That's how the world defines sex for you guys. It's about getting something from somebody, or it's about just making yourself feel better with somebody else. And it's perverted and it's wrong. God built sex to build sacred love, sacred. This is a holy moment. And sacred intimacy. It's a deeper intimacy just than hearing the words, I love you. It is a knowing and a longing to know one another deeply. God created the sex to help two people, a man and a woman in a marriage relationship, become closer together than ever. And that's what the word intimacy means. It means closeness, togetherness through a strong, trusting friendship. And that's what it is. God designed it to do that. Number four, he created it for pleasure. And you're like, okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Whoa. Okay. God made sex for pleasure. And I'm glad he did, because we wouldn't want to really do it out of a robotic act. You know, like picking your nose. You know, like, I mean, you guys just robotically pick your nose every once in a while. I know you do. You're like, no, I don't either. Gross. Yes, you do. Don't lie. You do. Okay. It happens. All right. God didn't create it that way, just so you would be like a robot. He created it and made it good. He set up something that was so enjoyable, listen, spoiler alert, it is so enjoyable that it creates such an intimate bond that it makes you never want to hurt the one that you're in love with. It makes you never want to go to another person to try to fulfill and fill that need of sex with anybody else in marriage. It is so powerful and so pleasurable and so good that God allowed us to experience it with the one that we want to love for a lifetime. And that's how powerful it is. It is so powerful that Satan can really do some things to interrupt what God wants us to hear from it. I want you to go back to that first sentence, that God made sex with meaningful purpose, right? And so sex is a big deal to God, all right? Everybody agree? So you can kind of see a little bit now, there's four ideas to keep the human race continuing, right? That's a big deal to God. To seal the deal in marriage, that's important to God. To build sacred love and intimacy, that's super important to God. He just doesn't want your relationship later on in life to be a robotic relationship. And he gave it to us so that we can find great pleasure in our spouse and one another. He's a fan of sex. He loves it. He created it for us to enjoy. So there's another aspect that we really need to get to that kind of helps us go, okay, Chris, we're all sixth through eighth graders, right? We're not really understanding all of what you're saying, but we get a little bit of it. So, but we want to help you understand the world is trying to get you to experience this before you're ready, okay? And that's what's happening. When you experience something, whether uncontrolled or controlled, in sex and the idea of sex, it is pushing you fast forward into something that you're not ready for, junior hires. And so that's why we keep saying it's so important that if you're struggling with certain things like pornography, or if you're struggling with the ideas that you're seeing or understanding, it's time to tell somebody so that you can stop the train. It is not time for you, okay? So that aspect of that it's a big deal to God, there's an idea that he has set up, and they're called parameters. Parameters is just a fancy word for guidelines or boundaries that we need to set up. And this is where we're going to talk about the second part of this idea, that if God made sex meaningful, with meaningful purpose, should be a big deal to us, right? If that's how he made it, that's how he created it, and it's a big deal to him, that should be a big deal to us to listen closely to what he says. So this is super important. Sex is so powerful. We talked about how pornography can interrupt the idea, and they call pornography now the new drug. It's the new drug of the world. And the world is like devouring it because it's so powerful. And sin is so real that we have to be aware that Satan can take our desires that are evil within us. We do have evil desires within us. We call it the flesh. It's the fleshly desires. And that he will take that coupled with sex, and he will try to mess us up. He will try to make us feel shame for who we are, for our identity, for being a female or a male. And he will totally turn your world upside down if you're out of control with the idea of sex. And throughout Scripture, God gives some very clear instructions and guidelines when it comes to how we should handle sex. And I don't want to overcomplicate this at all, so we're just going to boil it down to two parameters, and here they are. The first one is this: there is a time and a place for sex, and that time and place is marriage. Okay? That's the only time and place that it should be for. Now you're like, oh, gosh, I didn't know that. Because some of you guys are experiencing seeing all your friends maybe talk about it. Some of you eighth graders are probably seeing and hearing stories of some of your friends at a party. We almost made it. I'm going to go and switch. Check. Here we go. Okay. Some of you have already heard your friends talk about, like, maybe they've already had sex. And you're like, really? Oh, my gosh, eighth grade? There are stories of sixth graders that have already experienced sex, and or they said they have. And you might have heard different types of ideas in this whole idea. And so I'm here to tell you right now that this is not the time and place for you. The time and place for sex is in marriage only. And God set this in motion right away with Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:24. I'm going to look at it one more time because I want it to soak in. It says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Okay? They are united in marriage to one another. They promise themselves for a lifetime to one another. And that's when it happens. And in Hebrews, Paul says this about the marriage bed. Hebrews 13, verse 4. It says, marriage should be honored by all. And the marriage bed, kept pure. You know what the marriage bed is, right? That's where sex happens, okay? That's where your parents have sex. I'm sorry. I'm just going to let it out. That's where, when we get married, that's where that sacredness takes place. It takes place in the bedroom. That's why Paul says, really quickly here, keep the marriage bed pure, right? And why does he say it? What does it say? For God will judge the adulterer. That's the person who steps outside of marriage. That's the person who thinks and lusts after somebody else while they're married. Jesus even took it up a notch. And all the sexually immoral. We're going to look at that phrase here in just a second. So these verses, and there's lots of others, we're just going to give you a short, clear picture. It should only happen between a man. Sex should only happen between a man and a woman who are married. And anything else that you have ever learned from the world is not correct. I'm going to say it right now. Anything else that you've learned about any other relationships, it is not between a male and a male or a female and a female. It is between a male and a female, a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Everything else is not correct, and it goes against God's design. Number two, there's an idea in here of the parameter that we should flee from this phrase, sexual immorality. Well, what is that? That's a phrase that's used all throughout the Bible a lot. And it basically refers to a sexual activity outside of the marriage partnership, okay? Anything outside of that is like sexual immorality, okay? So I want to check out two verses that help us understand this whole sexual immorality thing. Ephesians 5, verse 3 says this, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people," okay? So that phrase that I want you to lock down in your verse is not a hint of sexual immorality. Some of you guys are like, well, how far is that? Where are we going with that? Well, we'll talk about it in a second, but it has to do with every part of your life. And you may be asking why. Well, it's because sexual immorality is lust. We talked about lust versus love in the second part of the series, and we learned that lust had to do with what? You guys remember? Being what? Objects, yeah? It was an S word. Selfish, yeah. Lust is selfish, okay? And so sexual immorality has to do with trying to get what you want. And it's no wonder that sexual immorality, that phrase, and then the word greed are used in the same verse. Because you know what greed does, right? If you're a greedy person, greed breeds more greed, right? You're like, you just can't get enough. And you're like greedy for everything. You want more. Well, sexual immorality is the same way. And so it's no wonder they're labeled as not proper for God's people in this one verse. They both are always looking to take advantage, and they breed more of each other. Does that make sense? Is that clear? Another verse in 1 Corinthians 6:18 says the same thing in a different way. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. That takes it a little bit deeper, doesn't it? You're like, oh, now I get it. So I'm really not just sinning against other people. I'm sinning against my actual being, who I am. And that is not good. It's not good for you. The phrase that I want you to lock in there is flee from sexual immorality. And guys, there's something in us that kind of loves to see what we can get away with, right? I mean, are you there sometimes? You're like, let's just see how far I can do this until I get caught, right? The Bible calls that evil desires and sin, okay? And a question we might ask sometimes is like, how far is too far? You know, how far do I have to go before, you know, it's actually bad? There's a flaw in that question for me, especially when you compare it to what God is saying in these two verses, that we should flee immorality, sexual immorality, and that we should be pure. And at the core of this question, how far is too far, I think it's really trying to figure out how close we can get to the line and to the edge without going over, right? And we're like, let's see how far I can push this. And if that's our goal, then we've already started to soak in the world a little bit. We're already living like the world wants us to live. But if our goal is to not even have a hint of sexual immorality or to flee, the challenge is to flee from it, I'm not sure we should even be asking that question, really. Instead, I think we should say, how far away can I get from that, right? How far away can I go? I need to get far away from that. And so it's important to make sure that you hear this. And I want to be clear. Guys, God views sex as a good thing in the context of this teaching in marriage.
And I'm afraid some of you may be under the impression that God's like saying, you can't have any fun, you can't do this, or whatever. God's not saying that. He's saying sex is good when it's handled his way and how he's designed it to be. That's why the parameters are there. And listen to me on this really close, because I've told you stories different times about me. I was experimented with and on sexually as a kid. And it is not fun. It's not fun to try to figure out what to do after that. It's not fun trying to figure out if you're manly or if you're feminine. It's not fun to try to work your way through what selfish, evil people sometimes can do to you. It's really difficult. And guys, sex is a big deal to God. And handling sex God's way, it should be a very big deal to us. We should want to know exactly what he says and how we can live our lives. So what's on the screen here, this is really important. God has created sex with a meaningful purpose. And anything outside of those purposes, guys, will end up hurting you. It will hurt you. It won't just hurt you. It'll hurt your family later on. And I wish I would have known this growing up. I wish somebody would have said, Chris, you need to flee from this now. Get it out of your life. Lock it down. Don't even try to even find it. Because I would have saved my family a little bit of pain. I really would have. But I didn't. I kind of messed up a lot. I had to learn the hard way. But thanks be to God for his grace. That I'm a different person. And I can look at myself and I can know that I am pure and clean. And so before I close on this topic, I want to pause and I want to recognize just a few different situations that may be present in this room. First, there may be some of you who have already said, I've messed up. I've already done this. I haven't handled sex God's way. I didn't know. I messed up and I've done, you fill in the blank. And man, I don't feel good about myself. It's okay. I'm sure there's some of you in here that have found yourself where you went further than you had planned. You're like, okay, I can handle this. I can take this. It's no problem. Maybe you had a boyfriend or girlfriend and you just went too far. And you followed the world's way. You've been duped. You've been like suckered. And you're like, oh, man, the world got me and made me think this way. And you've already done stuff that you already regret. That's okay. God loves you and he's here to show you something. Maybe others of you had no idea what God's standard was, and now you know. And you're like, yes, I know. God loves you, and he's offering you forgiveness without you even asking. He is giving you forgiveness, and he wants to give you a new start. But listen, it starts, that forgiveness starts with you owning that you know now and recognize that you stepped out of bounds. You stepped out of his parameters. And that now you're going to adopt his way on how to handle sex moving forward. And our small group leaders and myself, we want to help you. We want to help you see and experience this reality of forgiveness and restoration tonight. Excuse me. Secondly, there are others of you who are in the room right now, outside of your control or choice, had someone do something to you. Someone physically touched you, hurt you, did it in secret, and that person shouldn't have done that. And I want to say to you, it is not your fault. It is not your fault. Do not bear that shame anymore. That's not what God wants. God's heart hurts for you, and he hurts for the experience that happened to you. And he wants you to know that he loves you, and that you are not a mess, and you are not a mistake. And how he created you right now, male or female, is exactly what he wanted you to be. And nor do you need to follow what those people did to you, and nor do you need to run from it either. Some of you can experience healing tonight and restoration, and I want to see that happen in your life. It's a beautiful thing. I've experienced it myself. Some of you have had an experience that right now has made you choose or think about choosing to be an opposite gender. That's how deep it runs. Like, you have literally thought in your mind, because of what has happened to me, I do not want to be a girl anymore. Some of you have said to yourself, because this has happened to me, I do not want to be a boy anymore. So I'm going to transition. I'm going to work on that because it's out there in the world right now. The world's offering it to sixth graders. In fact, I know of a sixth grader right now that's working on that. And it breaks God's heart and it breaks my heart that you all have to even deal with this. That's why we're talking about it right now. That's why we're addressing it. You guys are awesome. Thank you for going here with us tonight. I know it's been awkward. I hope that you've heard God's heart in this. I'm going to pray a couple of prayers over you tonight. And I hope that maybe tonight in this first prayer that you would agree to do some things in this prayer. And I'm going to challenge you after this first prayer. So go ahead and bow your heads. I'm going to pray this prayer over you. God, I know that sex is a big deal to you. Because it's a big deal to you, I'm going to make it a big deal to me. And I'm going to handle sex the way you want me to handle it. Because you made sex with such an amazing and sacred, meaningful purpose, with the parameters that to help us protect ourselves, God, I will commit tonight to following your perfect plan for sex in the future. And so just in a moment, I'm gonna challenge you guys. If you agreed with this prayer, keep your heads bowed, don't look around. If you agreed with this prayer and you have a phone and you are gonna be bold tonight, then I want you to text one of your friends or your parents or your small group leader or me. Some of you have my phone number. And I simply want you to text, I'm going to follow God's way with sex. I want you to do that. I'm committing to following God's way with sex. It's just between that person and you. Nobody else needs to know. In fact, if you don't want to text, that's fine. You can go find that person tonight individually and talk to them privately. That's the prayer that I hope you will commit to tonight. So if you have your phone, you can go ahead and take it out if you're going to do that. If you need to make a note or a reminder, you can do that right now. And while you're doing that, I'm going to pray this prayer over you as well. So God, I also know that there are some in the room who have been made to feel that the sex that they are right now, male or female, they've been made to feel that that is wrong for them, and they are contemplating choosing to explore if they should be gay or not. They just think that you made a mistake. And God, I pray that after tonight, after they've heard this sacred and awesome design that you have for sex and marriage, that tonight they would consider thinking that through. Maybe talking to somebody, talking to their parents, so that they don't fall away from your perfect design. And God, I ask that you do that in their hearts tonight. Give them boldness. God, I also pray for those who have been abused, possibly, or sexually experimented on from selfish, greedy people who really followed their own fleshly desires. And I pray for healing for them tonight, knowing that your love will cover them and that they can know that they can be restored and finally find peace in their identity in you. And in their hearts, and then they can know that you have a perfect design for them later on in the future for sex. And God, as we leave this place tonight, may we be encouraged to live life like you have taught us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.